Anyway, if you want to turn with me to Isaiah 58, and we'll start there this morning. I've just felt over this last COVID while that the Lord has us on lockdown, you know. He's allowed all this stuff for a reason, and I believe that part of this message today is the explanation of what God is up to in our personal lives, not really globally, and yet for the church globally, but not as in prophecy for anything like that.
Excuse me.
So, Isaiah 58. Right, back on there. Hi. Isaiah 58. Starting at verse 6, says, "Is not this the kind of fast that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will come quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer. Then you will call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer. And you will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob." If you'd like to turn with me to Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Actually, in verse 1 of Joel 1, it says, "Hear this, you elders, and listen, all you who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days? Or in the days of your ancestors? Has anything like this ever happened in your days? I don't believe that any of us have seen in our day a global shutdown, global protesting, global rioting like we have seen over the last 3 months of our lives." And the Lord begins to call people, and he said, "Take notice, waken up. It's time for us to get out of our pajamas into our working clothes." Yeah? So Joel 2, verse 11 says, "The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Even now, declares the Lord, even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings, drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber, and let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Mm. So I was sitting and the Lord just began to speak to me about this season that we're in, the season of lockdown. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to return again to Isaiah 58, and I want you to return to Joel chapter 2. And I was like, why? And he said, because I live in the upside down gospel. He said, I'm at the top and you're at the bottom. Right? So even though we're the head and not the tail, positionally, third heaven, second heaven, us. And he began to show me this, I don't know if you can see it, it's like this little upside down pyramid. And normally we tell people that they should be working that way, but actually God calls us to work this way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to explain this to you in a minute. So right at the top of this is the call of the Lord, which is Isaiah 58. And it's rend your heart, says the Lord. Rend your heart and return to me, says the Lord. Okay, so the first thing that he wants us to do in this season of COVID is to rend our heart before him, to return to him. And in our, to rend means to tear open, to expose, to lay bare. And I feel like God is calling us as individuals. This is a personal message today, as individuals, that he's calling us to open up our heart, like totally expose everything that is causing us to be anxious, everything that could be hidden in there, the sinful thoughts, the things that people don't see that we know are there. And he says, I want you to come before me in this season. I want you to rend your heart. I want you to open it up before me so that I can gain access. Because the only way you can return to me is to rend your heart to me. The only way that you can come before me is through the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But the Spirit says to us today in Isaiah 58, rend your heart. Rend your heart. I'm not interested in your goods. I'm not interested in your tithing if I don't have your heart. I'm not interested in your houses and your vehicles and how many people you speak to about me unless you rend me your heart. He says, the first thing I want from you is your heart. I want you to open up your heart to me. I want you to give your heart to me so that I can build something into you for this season that is coming, when, as we're coming out of lockdown, as we're coming to begin to walk out of this thing. Like we heard yesterday in the news that the Southwest has a rise in numbers again. This is our zone, you know? And I'm like, this is not happening in my shift. No way. This thing's going out the door. Wagging its tail, but it can get out the door. So in these days when we're on lockdown, the Lord says, return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart to me. Open up your heart to me. How do we do that? He says that we do that through fasting, through weeping, through mourning. And that happens in the prayer room. There's only one place where we can come before the Lord with our fasting and our weeping and our mourning and actually saying to him, God, I don't know how to open up my heart to you. I don't know what that looks like. Will you teach me? Will you teach me how to bear it all to you? Will you show me what I need to expose to you? Will you show me what I need to bring and how to bring that to you? So that is our prayer room. Where we rend the heart is in the prayer room of our lives. That's in our secret place, away from everybody else. Right in that intimate, quiet, maybe noisy, maybe tearful place with the Lord, that we rend our hearts to him. And when do we stop doing that? We stop doing that when we get to the Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5, and it says, who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved, leaning on her beloved? So when you're in a wilderness, there's this isolation, there's this dryness, there's nothing around you that can distract you. You're in a place of quiet. You're in a place of isolation. And yet in that place, the Lord says, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in that place of quiet, in that place of preparing your heart before me, in that place of abandonment. I'm coming to you because once again, I want you to let go of leaning and all these other things that you have lent on for the last season, that you have lent on your finance or your job or your home, all the things that you've poured into. He said, I'm calling my church again to come and rest on me. I'm calling you to make me your first priority. I'm calling you to come before me so that I can bring you out of this wilderness season in a whole new way. He wants to dress us again for this new season. He wants to put new clothes upon our backs, new rings on our fingers, new shoes on our feet, so that we're ready for this new season that's coming, that's ahead of us. It's a breakthrough season, and we need to be equipped and ready with the Spirit of the Lord filling us up. He wants us in this season to become spirit people. So to be a spirit person, we're born of the Spirit, but we want to be filled with the Spirit on us, around us, in us, through us. And we like want to be those people that walk with the Spirit day by day, communing with Him, living in that place of glory. So then we come to the why. Why do we need to rend our heart? Why do we need to come into this place of exposure to the Lord? Why do we need to let Him redress us out of this season of our pajamas, out of the season of COVID, out of the season of quiet? Why? Because in verse 6 of chapter 58 says, is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. So what we're called to when we come up out of the wilderness, this season that we're being equipped for, is a season of justice. It's a season where we become the justice bringers in our community, where we become those that will transform community one life at a time, or one community at a time, or one group at a time. You know, maybe it's through a mom and toddler group. Maybe it's through a rehab group. Maybe it's just through coffee morning, where we get to begin to release what God is pouring into us in this season of learning to lean on Him again. If we can't lean, we can't lead others to the place of leaning. If we can't be discipled by Him, we can't lead others to being discipled by Him. We have to have that invested in us first, so that we have something to present to the table with others. So we're called to break the chains of injustice, the cords of yoke. And what I saw when I was spending time with the Lord on this was, I saw individuals standing and they were chained, like these shackles that were chained, and they were bolted into the ground and they weren't able to move, and their hands were chained down to the bolts in the ground. And so no matter what happened to them, no matter what else, if they were fed, if they were clothed, they still couldn't move. They were still held in chains. And God has called us to break the chains of people's lives, yeah, so that they can walk free. Sometimes feeding someone isn't enough. Sometimes giving someone new clothes or taking them for a cup of coffee isn't enough. There are deeper things that need to be released, they need to be released from, that chains need to be actually broken off people's lives. And then there's the cords of the yoke. And the cords of the yoke are like the things that people carry. They're like cords that are wrapped around them, that, you know, that weight that sometimes you feel you just can't shift. You know, there's burdens that people carry. There's lies that they believe. There's belief systems, mindsets, the nurture, things they've been nurtured in, that abusive situations, different things that become a yoke that they carry as part of their identity. And it's like they can't go anywhere without being reminded of who they were and the things that happened to them or the things that they have done. And those are the yokes that we are called to lift off people. So we're called to break chains that hold people in prison. and we're called to lift off the yokes of the burden of people's lives, mindsets, possession, oppression of the enemy. We're called to heal. We're called to listen. We're called to disciple. Yeah, we're called to set people free. We're called to honor the Sabbath. We're called to walk with pure talk. It said here that we are not to be malicious in our talk. Watch your mouth. Watch. Close your pie hole, you know. It's like we need to be careful that we're not gossiping about people, talking maliciously about people. Why? Because it opens the door to the enemy over their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You actually release a doorway to someone's life through your mouth, through what you say. Your responsibility, shut it. Keep it shut. If you can't say something that's going to honor someone, if you can't say something that you wouldn't say with that person in the room, then you shouldn't say it at all.
Yeah?
It's damaging, it's offensive, it's hurtful, it's wrong. It opens a doorway to Satan to come in and torment that person and bring accusation and bring oppression against that person. So let's be people that encourage and build up and edify and lift each other up and look for the gold in one another, not trample each other underfoot. Yeah? So, back to point. Right. So we're called, number one, rend your heart, open up the heart, return to me, says the Lord. Why? Because I want to deal with your heart. I want to deal with those things. I want to empower you. I want to give you a new cloak, a new ring of authority, a new mantle, new shoes on your feet for this new season. Why? Because we're called to break the chains of injustice. We're called to break issues of poverty. We're called to break issues of abuse. We're called to speak into issues of unemployment, isolation in people's lives. We're called to break the yokes, lift off the yokes, the mindsets, the lies, the belief systems, the burdens, those things that cause individuals to return to their past. Those doorways of oppression. We're called to lift off those cords and shut those doors in their lives. How do we do that? Through sharing our food, spiritual food, physical food. The best thing, you know, like people love food. So it's good to get people around a table and then begin to share food with them on the natural, but also spiritual food with them and help them to grow. Provide shelter. Be a covering for people. Be a safe place for people. Be a refuge for people. Be a mentor for someone. Take someone on. Who are you mentoring right now? Who are you discipling? Who are you preparing the word of the Lord for? Who are you asking God for a word for? Who are you encouraging at the moment? Who are you building up in this season? Who are you calling that you know is on their own or isolated? Care for your family, family in need, spiritual family, this family, your own natural blood family. Care for them. This is the spiritual and physical working out of what we are to do. Be careful what you say. No malicious talk. No accusation. Keep those doors closed. Keep them closed. Let's empower one another, not disempower. And if you've noticed that this whole part of this pyramid is onto the Lord, onto others. Onto the Lord, onto others. And then he says, verse 10, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine. Yeah? So, rend your heart, return to the Lord, give that unto others what the Lord gives to you, and then we begin to receive. Whereas we've always said, oh, when I build my house, when I get this, when I do that, when I feel full, I'll give to someone. We get full when we rend our hearts to Jesus. We get full when we return to the Lord. And then he says the next part of that equation is to give it out to others, to give it away, to give it away. Who are you investing in right now? Who are you spending yourself on so that the light of God begins to shine on you? Yeah. So Joel 3:4 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There are so many multitudes, the Lord says, multitudes right now in the valley of decision. There's a harvest that's ready right now right now, people all over the world, in our community, in your family, are in a place of decision. They may not even know they're in a place of decision, but every day they're being faced with choices. And my Bible tells me multitudes are in the valley of decision, so they'll not be hard to find, will they? They'll not be hard to find. They'll be all around us. So who are you spending yourself for? Who are you calling in? Who are you mentoring right now? Why? Why should we do this? Why should we give ourselves to the Lord? Why should we give ourselves and spend ourselves for others? It says, Isaiah 58 again, it becomes then very personal. Becomes personal. It says, your light will come. You will have breakthrough. Your righteousness will go before you. The Lord is our righteousness. Our righteousness will go before us. It will be seen because it's being put out onto others. Yeah? Your righteousness will go before you. It says that we will call to the Lord and he will answer us. We will receive answered prayer. We will receive guidance from the Lord. It says here also we receive physical strength to our body. I don't know about you, but who needs physical strength in their body right now? Who needs healing in their physical body? Well, the Lord says here that if you spend yourself for others, he will restore you. He will restore you. Remember that Jesus gave himself for others. He rent his heart before his Father, and he rent his heart before the people, and he gave himself so that his body was also healed and restored. It means that we receive provision and we receive joy. So very practical things. We receive guidance. Light, when light comes, everything that's hidden will become uncovered. We'll see direction. We receive breakthrough. We receive healing. Our righteousness will travel before us. God will answer our prayers. We receive guidance. We have physical strength to our physical frame. And we have provision in the now season. And we receive joy. In Joel chapter 2, verses 13 to 14... Joel chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. The Lord says, when we rend our heart before him, when we return with fasting and weeping, when we give ourselves unto him, we also then begin to receive and experience the nature of God. Rend your heart, give to others, and experience the nature of God. It says here that return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may return and relent and leave a blessing, grain offerings, drink offerings for the Lord. So we begin to experience the nature of God in his compassion toward us, in his graciousness, his kindness, his forgiveness toward us, his abounding love toward us, his blessing on us, his protection with the angel armies on us, his provision for us. Yeah, that's such good news, people. It's such good news, you know? And John 14, again, it's that I am the way. It's like the Lord wants us. He calls us so that we experience him. He wants us to experience him, so that we can give that to others, so that we can experience more of the nature of God, that deep-set nature. So as we care for others, as we build each other up, as we encourage one another, as we lift one another up, as we help each other practically, spiritually, look out for each other, pray for one another, take that into our community, look for someone. We watched War Room last night again. And it's like, let's target, ask the Lord to bring someone along you, your pathway, that you can mentor, that you can take deeper, that you can teach them how to war for the things that God has for them, that you can teach them how to disciple others also, so that we get to experience the nature of God, the compassion of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the provision of God, the blessing of God on our lives. And when we, like, I don't know about you, but when I experience God's love and his compassion and his goodness and his blessing and his favor, what does it call me to do? it takes me from right down here again, where we receive the nature, to right up here. It calls me right back into that place of rending my heart before him. Rending my heart before him. It calls me right back into that place of, oh my gosh, love, Lord, I've experienced so much of your love. I want more. I've experienced so much of your compassion. I want more. I've experienced so much of you as a father to me. I want more. I've experienced your provision. I want more. I've experienced joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want more. I want more. And so we're drawn right back up to that place of return unto me, says the Lord. Why? Because I have so much more for you. I have so much more to give you. And it's like this cycle, isn't it? Rend your heart, return to me. Let me fill you, draw you out of the wilderness full of me, so that you can spend it on others, so that I can pour into you, so that that draws your heart back to me, so that you can rend it again and receive back all that I have for you. So the last couple of verses I wanted to share with you are James chapter 2, verses 14 to 24. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, be well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is completely dead. Our faith is meaningless without our action. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see, a person is considered righteous by what they do and not just by faith alone. And Hebrews chapter 10, if you've got your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Render, come before me, return to me. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Rend the heart, lay it before the Lord. Let him clean us up. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. And chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So my word today, what I have felt is the Lord in every way saying, I am a good father. I want to spend time with you. I want to impart into you all that Christ, my son, had when he walked on the earth, so that you can do the things that he did, so that you can do the greater things. So I'm calling you to rend your heart before me, lay it open before me, so that I can wash you and clean you, and I can equip you so that you can go then and be like my son, and you can spend yourselves on others around you, that you can heal the brokenhearted, that you can cut off the chains and loose the shackles that have held my people in bondage for so long, so that I can let my light shine upon you, that my compassion and my goodness and my provision, my forgiveness and my joy can fill you again abundantly, which will then draw your heart back to me so that I can fill you again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you thunder at the head of your army. I thank you, Lord, that you are raising us up, God, to be powerful in your kingdom.
Yeah.
Lord, that we ride behind a thunderous God. We ride with the angel armies of heaven. I thank you, Lord, that as we pour our hearts before you, Lord, that you, God, will fill us, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that you will clean us up and that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit again and again and again, so that we can break off the chains of injustice and poverty and community and all the things, God, that are shackles in our society today. Lord, that our voice would be a righteous one. Our voice would have power. Our words would have power to build up and encourage, to break all yokes off people's lives. Lord, that we would be ones that would mentor well, that would disciple well, that we would spend ourselves on one another and spend ourselves for the lost, for your kingdom.
Mm.
Lord, we say that we're willing to rend our hearts to you so that we experience your compassion, your goodness, your forgiveness, your love, your joy, your provision. And who knows, that you may even leave behind a blessing.
Mm.
So that, God, our hearts are drawn to you again, that we may start this cycle of life and love over and over and over. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I just got the feeling this morning that there's a lady watching who's actually very anxious and concerned, and her peace has been really affected by, first of all, the COVID and what has been happening with that, but recently with the actions of the marches on the streets in London and in America, it's actually causing you a lack of peace at this time. You're thinking, what is happening to the world that I live in? And fear has been creeping in and making you anxious and causing you to think, I don't even want to venture out anymore onto the streets. So in the name of Jesus, I just pray for you right now that the peace of the Lord would come upon you, that his presence would just descend upon you right now, and that shalom of the Father would just envelop you, would wrap around you right now at this season, Jesus. That the fear, we command you to leave right now in Jesus' name, because where there is love, there is no room for fear, because the two contradict each other. But the love of the Father is yours. It's yours to hold and to sustain you. He is your rock. So we just command all fear to be gone from your life right now, that you experience the freedom and the power that comes through the cross of Jesus Christ today, right now, right where you are, to envelop you in Jesus' name.
Amen. And I'd just like to give you, I don't think you should ever release a word without giving some people an opportunity to respond. So if this word has resonated with you, the Lord says, even now, return to me. Even now, rend your heart before me so that I can transform you, so that you can be a transformer for others. I want to take you, says the Lord, from lounging to launching. I want to launch you into community. I want to launch you in the spirit into the community to transform community. That community may become kingdom, to bring people out of darkness into light. So if that's you, I just want you to put your hand on your heart right now and just repeat after me. Jesus. Father God, I come to you today. Mm. And God, I say to you, Lord, I want to rend my heart before you. I want to lay my heart bare before you today, Father. Lord, so that you can cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, that you would expose all that needs to be dealt with and washed away. I ask for your forgiveness for the things in my life that haven't been right, or the things that I've said and done. I ask you to forgive me today. And I choose today, Lord, to return to you with all of my heart, with all of my heart. I ask, Lord, that you will show me or bring someone my way that I can mentor, that I can disciple, that I can help to grow the way that you have been growing me. I want to give away, Lord, what you're giving to me right now. I thank you for your compassion. I receive your compassion. I receive your love. I receive your joy. I receive your wisdom. I receive your truth. I receive your provision. I receive the fact that you answer my prayers. I receive your abundance. I receive your love. And today, Lord, I lay it all down before you, and I say, God, I return to you with all of my heart. Use me, God. Let me be the penny in your pocket, and spend me as you will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I also get an impression that there's a guy out there called John who's watching. And John, you're having circulation problems and feeling problems in your feet. And you're finding your feet really stiff in the mornings to actually get moving. And I just want to pray for you right now that that circulatory problem, Father, we ask you to come right now, that you would actually enlarge the veins that carry the blood flow through the whole body, right through the area of the veins and arteries of the feet. That the actual feet would be stimulated again, that blood would flow again, and that feeling would come back. We command that your actual feet move with a greater ease and greater peace, that when you get out of bed in the morning, you will feel that suppleness, and the way you know you should feel, it comes back to you right now in Jesus' name. And I also get a sense there's another man who's got a problem here, right behind the left ear, that you're finding pain, actually just excruciating, just it's like surging and pulsing right at that side of your head, and you're wondering what on earth is going on with me, why am I feeling this pain? And so the Father right now, just I speak to that pain and I command it to be released, broken off you, that fear that it's trying to come in with just goes right now in Jesus' name, that you also experience the peace of the Father, and that this pain and the symptoms of pain leave your body right now, and that you be whole, that you be well, and that you be at peace in your mind in Jesus' name.
And I also feel that there's a woman, and I see your feet and they're slightly swollen, and the Lord just keeps saying to me, like neuropathy, where they feel like sponges, but you can't feel your feet properly, like a neuropathy in your feet. And I saw people that had spoken over you when you were attempting to begin to do things. I felt that there was a business launch that you had an idea for, and also the things for the Lord that you wanted to accomplish. And people have discouraged you and spoken negativity over those ideas and those passions in your heart. And I feel like your feet are almost like a physical outworking of that, where the negative words that have been spoken over you that have actually stopped you moving forward are manifesting in what's happening in your feet. So I just take authority over those words that have been spoken over your life in the name of Jesus. And we just rebuke all those negative words that say you can't and you shouldn't in the name of Jesus. And we close the door on that negative words that have been spoken over you right now in Jesus' name. And we just release a divine exchange over you to say that you are all the Father says you can be, that it's not too late. And I feel the Lord really says to you today, it's not too late. It's not too late, that I have made you to be the head and not the tail. I have given you ideas that will bless you abundantly. I have given you a creative mindset, and I'm allowing you permission. I want to give you permission to dream again with me. And so, God, we just break the power of neuropathy over the feet in Jesus' name. And that sponginess, we command it to go right now in Jesus' name. We just remove that label. We remove that label right now and that diagnosis. And we say no in Jesus' name. We say right back to sender in the name of Jesus. And, God, we call wholeness and restoration to those feet. We call blood supply to reflow. We call nerves to be rehealed, those nerve sheaths to be rehealed. and the memories, the message transportation to flow again effectively.
Yeah.
God, we call a healing, a restoration of all things for this beautiful daughter of yours, that she would go forth in power, that she would go forth in the might of your Spirit in these days that lie ahead, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I get a picture of a couple. You've been trying to actually have a child, and so far, even tests have been coming back negative, negative, negative. And it's really upset you because your heart's desire is that you would have children, that the children would be a blessing to you and be from the Lord. And so I just get a sense that right now, you need to lay your hands on your belly right now. And even husband, you lay your hand on top of hers as well. And right now, I just command in the name of Jesus Christ that your womb opens, that what has been stopping, there is nothing that is impossible for our God. So right now, as we pray, we call in the presence of God to come and to actually ignite the natural process of birth, creation, and the creation of a child in the womb. And so that you get blessed, blessed, blessed. So I'm not saying that's three, but it could be three children coming. So I just believe that God's in the process of when the doctors get to the point where they can't understand or can't tell you more than what they know, my God, your God, can come in the back of that and can totally reverse it, change it around. So I'm standing with you right now as you're praying, saying, Lord, spark life, create life right now in Jesus' name, that this couple get blessed with children in Jesus' name.
Jesus. I just want to remind you guys as we come to a close of Isaiah 40. For those that are feeling tired, for those that are feeling weary in this battle, you know, the Lord loves you immensely, immensely. He has plans for you to bless you. And he says here he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not faint. And I do believe that we need to remind ourselves of the word of the Lord. You know, when there's a promise, there's a condition. Like what we've been saying this morning, you know, we receive when God calls us to rend so that we can give, so that we can receive. There's always that balance of Lord wants the kingdom to grow. And in how it grows is that we get closer so that we give it out so that we get closer. And our strength, just be encouraged today that he gives strength to the weary and he gives power to the weak. And I think that if you're feeling like that today, just ask him. Ask him. Tell him what your needs are. If you don't know how to rend your heart, ask him. God, show me. Show me how to give to you. Show me what you're asking of me. Reveal to me what you're asking of me personally this morning. And just take some time with him. And let him come and fill you and give you a new robe, new ring of authority, and new shoes for your feet to go out into the community and transform lives around you.
Yeah, and if you're watching this today and you have never known what it is to be in the place where you say yes to accepting Jesus Christ, to being your Lord, your Savior, then you've never experienced the freedom that comes when what we call a burden, life's pressures, everything that surrounds you that battles with you, the knowing that you have done things wrong comes in and tries to crush you. It makes you feel depressed, lonely and isolated. Well then, the Lord is saying to you today, this is your time. All you need to do is say, Jesus Christ, I surrender, I give my life to you. I say yes to you being my Lord today.
Forgive me.
Do it. Just ask him to forgive you of all the past rubbish, stuff that's gone on in your life. Even the stuff that you think, like, God could never forgive me of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he can. God is the forgiver of all sin, not just certain types, but everything that you do wrong. God can come in and wash that clean. Do you know what he says? He says that he washes your garments and they become like white as snow. So in other words, he wipes the slate clean and he makes you free again. He takes that weight and that burden off you the minute you say yes. And you know what else he gives you? He gives you peace. So when you say yes to Jesus Christ, he comes in with that peace. Mm. It just comes down upon you. And you will notice it. It will be tangible to you. And you will feel so light in your feet the minute you surrender and you give your life over to a Savior who loves you abundantly, who came and died for you and made a possibility available to you to accept him as your Father and to enjoy the rest of your life and to actually fellowship and come into the rest of the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm. It's so fantastic. You don't want to hold back and don't let doubt come in, but you do it and you do it today in Jesus' name. I bless you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit to actually cross over the line and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ today.
If you want to contact us and speak to us, you can email us on freedomfireministriesoffice@gmail.com or fathersoffice@fathershouse.co.uk or on Facebook, on Father's House Facebook or on Freedom Fire Ministries Facebook page. You can message us there and we will get back to you. If you've any questions or if you've like some prayer needs, just please contact us and we'd love to respond to that for you. Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your closeness. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that your name is above every name. Mm. We thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to return to you, Lord, with our whole heart. You're calling us to rend our heart before you, Lord, so that you can fill us, so that you can fill us and equip us, God, to transform our communities through love, to transform our communities, God, through what you're doing within us, God, that you're forming us to be more like Jesus, to spend our lives for others, to spend our lives in the place of worshipping you, then to spend our lives for others so that we can be filled even more by you, God, for these days ahead. So, amen. Lord, we say come. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.